book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 through verse 4 are the scripture text tonight. Perhaps I'm too time conscious, and I'm ashamed of myself for being so time conscious. Because I don't know when or how long it has been since I have waited till 9 o'clock to preach. Because I'm always due preaching by 9 o'clock. I'll make the altar call. Because to me that's one of the most important parts part of any service, and that is the altar service. But since we will only get to be here this one night, and you've responded so great, I would like to share something with you from the precious word of the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there should come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. And here's what they will be saying. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, let me tell you where this scripture came from and what inspired it. I was in a man's place of business some time back, and we were sitting there talking about world problems. We wasn't solving them, but we were talking about them. And finally he asked me, "Well, preacher, what do you think is going to happen next?" And without a moment's hesitation, I told him, "Mr. Harper, I know for sure what's going to happen next. And that is, Jesus Christ is coming again right to the church."
Amen.
And when I said this old man got to his feet. He walked around on my side of the desk and he sat down. And looking down at me, seemingly it was an eternity, but it was only a few seconds. But he said, "What makes you so confident that Jesus is coming again?" He said, "Now, I'm not ignorant." He said, "I'm 70 years old, and I was raised in the church." And he said, "I have heard it preached not once, but hundreds of times that Jesus is coming, and he hasn't come. But here you are, a much younger man, and then you tell me in absolute terms that you're convinced that Jesus is coming again. What makes you so sure?" Well, of course, I tried to give him my reasons why I believe in the coming of the Lord. But I'm sure that I wasn't convincing. But after leaving his office, his question stayed with me. What is it that I believe in the coming of the Lord? So I began to search for my reasons for believing this. See, Peter said that every man should be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within.
Yes, he did.
And if you believe that Jesus is coming again, you ought to be able to give a reason for believing what you believe. Now, if I ask you, how many of you believe that Jesus is coming again? Every one of you, without exception, would raise your hand and tell me by the upraised hand that you believe that Jesus is coming again. But could you give me a reason why you believe it? Well, I'll tell you. After searching my own heart and searching my school of knowledge concerning the scripture, I came up with three reasons why we should be convinced that Jesus is coming again. First of all, did you know that every New Testament preacher that ever preached believed and preached that Jesus was coming again?
Amen.
And I hadn't realized this. But every one of them believed it. Every one of them preached it. Paul wrote 13 books. And in every book that Paul wrote, Paul talks about the coming of the Lord. Now, if a man would talk that much about the coming of the Lord, evidently he believes what he's talking about. Amen. Because if he didn't believe what he was talking about, then he wouldn't talk so much about it.
Yeah.
In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52, Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall are all asleep, but we shall be changed in the moment at the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now all Paul is doing is sharing with the Corinthian church what he believes.
Amen.
And he's telling them that there is a day coming when the church is going to be raptured to meet Jesus in the air.
Amen.
In the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, he tells this congregation, "For our conversation is in the heavens above, where we look for the appearing of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who should change our vile body that it should be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Therefore, doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him."
Amen.
See, all he's doing is just sharing with these folks his conviction. When he wrote to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 to verse 18, he tells them, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," that is, those who died in the Lord. He said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, even so them also which sleep in him."
Yes, hallelujah.
"Well, this we say to thee by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto his coming shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." He will tell them what he believes now. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of archangel, and with the trump of God. And all the dead, the grave is going to come forth first. Yeah. And then we which are alive and
remain
shall be first with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
Yeah.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord."
Amen. Hallelujah.
Brother, sounds to me like he believed this.
Yes, amen.
He wrote the book of Hebrews, and on many occasions in the book of Hebrews, he talked about the coming of the Lord.
Yes, he did.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28, he says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that cometh the judgment, but unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation."
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, again he said, "And yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." He wrote to Titus, and he told Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through verse 13, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath been unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worded us, we should live soberly, righteously, and calmly in the present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ."
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
Well, when I preach on the coming of the Lord, I say, "Paul don't have anything on me. I'm just preaching what he preached." Glory to God.
Amen.
And some folks say, "I wish they had Paul here." Well, you don't need Paul. You just need Brother Walker and Brother Ogden and I here. Because we preach the same thing. But Paul wasn't the only one that preached this. He wasn't the only one that believed this. John, pastor the first assembly in Jerusalem, he believed the same thing. He did. Reason I know John did, because John said in 1 John 2:28, "Now little children," that does not sound like John, "now little children abide in him, so that when he doth come, you should have confidence and be not ashamed before his coming." Also in 2 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is."
Yes, hallelujah.
James, he believed the same gospel.
Yes,
James chapter 5, verse 8, James said, be you also patient and establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Yeah. Well, Peter, he believed the same gospel, and he was a general superintendent of the early assemblies of God. And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 through verse 12, he said, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men cast down, but his long suffering, that would not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, for the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. And he had a lot of preachers that were discouraged in his first conviction. And so he told him in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, when he the chief shepherd shall appear, he should give you a crown that fadeth not away. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus said in verse 14, behold, the Lord cometh and saith, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you folks today,
boy,
that asked me why I believe in the coming of the Lord. I say because all the apostles and all the men in the New Testament, they believe this. So I'm going to believe the same thing they believe.
Amen.
If they believe Jesus was coming again, then I'm going to believe the same thing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Wave at me like this.
Amen.
Oh, that looks good.
Amen. They're awake.
But something else I discovered, and that is, even angels believe the gospel of the second coming of the Lord.
Yes.
See, this doctrine, brother, isn't something that we, the assemblies of God, have come with and say this is ours. Because this is the doctrine of angels. Now, did you know the angels had a lot to do with the life and ministry of Jesus? It was angels who announced his birth. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 8 through verse 16, the Bible says, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night, and lo, there appeared unto them an angel of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so faint. Now when the angel saw this fear that had gripped these three shepherds, he tells them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior.
Yes, hallelujah.
Which is Christ the Lord. And this should be a sign unto you. You should find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel in multitudes of the heavenly host, praise God and saying, glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. And verse 16 says, and it came to pass when the angels were gone, the shepherds said one to another, let us go into the city and see their saying, the Lord hath made known unto us. So they came with haste into the city, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, just like the angels said it would be.
Yes, they might.
Those same angels announced his resurrection.
Yes.
Reason I know they did it, because in Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through verse 6, early in the morning there were two women in Martha the sepulcher that finished preparing the body of Jesus for burial. And in Martha the sepulcher, they were discussing among themselves who's going to roll the stone away. Because we don't have enough power to roll the stone from the mouth of the cave and go inside and finish preparing his body for burial. Now we're going to have to get somebody that's strong enough to go witness to this tomb and roll this stone away. Well, they discussed this all the way to the tomb. And when they got there, they discovered somebody had already rolled the stone away.
Yes, they were.
And they looked on the inside of the open sepulcher, and they saw his grave clothes, and they saw the cold piece of stone where his body had laid for 3 days and 3 nights. But they didn't know that God had raised him from the dead. They thought somebody had stolen his body away. They thought somebody had moved him to another burying place. And as it turned to leave, not knowing what had happened to Jesus, the Bible said they stood by them, two men in white apparel, we said, why seek to the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen.
Well, if I believe their message concerning the birth of Jesus, if I believe angels' message concerning the good news of the resurrection, then why wouldn't I believe what they told me when they said he's coming again?
Amen.
In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11, and I'm about to get happy.
Acts
chapter 1, verse 11, Jesus said his church out to Mount Olives, about a quarter of a mile east of the old city of Jerusalem. And here they stand on that olive, and he gives them their final instruction. He says that I want you to go back into Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry in the upper room until you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Now while he's giving them these instructions, all of a sudden, he's caught up into heaven, out of their sight. And as these men stood around about Mount Olive watching the heavens that Jesus had departed into, thinking maybe they may catch one last glimpse of him before he takes a seat at the right hand of God. And then they stand by peace up into heaven. Everything is definitely quiet. All of a sudden there is a blast that breaks the stillness. And is that why you men of Galilee? Why are standing gazing up into heaven? Because this same Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It means the same Jesus that was born to man in Bethlehem. That means our same Jesus who grew into man
in the flesh.
It means that same Jesus who walked the shores of Galilee and healed the sick. It means that same Jesus who said to the man with the withered hand, touch both your hand and be healed. It means that same Jesus who touched the eyes
and the eyes open.
The ears of the deaf, and the deaf ears were stopped.
Yes.
It means the same Jesus who touched the son of the dumb, and the tongue was moved.
Yes.
That same Jesus who told the leper, go thy way, thy faith is made thee whole.
Hallelujah.
It means that same Jesus who gave his flesh to be crucified. It means that same Jesus who ascended back to the right hand of God the Father. These angels have that same Jesus. Oh, I like that. Jesus that you see go from you shall also come again. That you see him go from you. Hallelujah. Neighbor, I'm convinced he's coming again.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's good. Glory to God.
I wish you felt what I feel. Maybe if I let you preach for a while. Something else I discovered too, and that is that Jesus said he was coming again.
Yes, he did.
Me, I'm convinced with what the disciples, the apostles, had to say about the coming of the Lord. And I'm convinced because of what angels had to say. But the clincher is, Jesus told us he was coming again.
Yes, he did. Amen.
See, now this is certain.
Amen.
Fact is, Jesus left two promises with the church. Did you know that? He did. The first promise he left the church was that if he went away, he would send back what?
Comforter.
That's right. He would send back the Holy Ghost. Reason I know he promised that because throughout the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he promised it not once, but many times. For an example, in St. John chapter 7, verse 37 through verse 39, John sends these words. On the last day of the feast, Jesus stood crying, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Yes.
And this faith of the Holy Spirit that they that believe on him shall receive, for he was not as yet glorified. Again in St. John chapter 14, verse 15 through verse 17, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yes.
And I shall pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. But you know him now because it was with you. But it shall be in you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Luke chapter 24, verse 49, that behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Again in St. John 16:7, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is better for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter cannot come. There's no way the Holy Ghost can come if I remain here. But he said, if I leave you, go back to heaven, when I get to heaven, I'm going to pray the Father. And the Father's going to send you another comforter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, after his resurrection, right before his ascension, he was assembled together with the church, and he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, who saith him, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days in.
Yes.
Tell me, ask your neighbor, did Jesus keep that promise?
Yes, he did.
Did he keep that promise? Did he give the church
yes,
the Holy
did.
Ghost?
Yes, he did. Amen.
Because Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 4 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was 120 in the upper room, not 12, but 120. They were all in one place and one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting.
Yes,
and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit came in the
mouth. Hallelujah. Amen.
But it doesn't stop there. Because Acts chapter 8 tells us how that the folk of Samaria received the Holy Ghost. Acts 9 tells us how Paul received the Holy Ghost. Acts 10 tells us how that Cornelius' household received the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Acts 19 tells us how the 12 men of Ephesus received the Holy Ghost. And Peter said in Acts 2:39, this promise is unto you and to your children and to those in the fall, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now that means that if you're saved, you're a candidate for the Holy Ghost talking in tongues.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Because when he gave the promise of the day of Pentecost, he just keeps fulfilling it every day. Baptized we are
witness
image of God with the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. And it gets better every day, doesn't
Amen.
It? Fact is, this is going to be the password to heaven. You better start talking in tongues.
Hallelujah.
But the second promise he left the church was, and if he went away, he'd come back.
Amen.
St. John chapter 14, verse 1 through verse 3, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. See, if he kept the promise concerning the Holy Ghost, I'm confident he's going to keep this promise too.
Yeah,
he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it wasn't so, I would have told you so. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again.
Yes.
And then the agnostics, the unbelievers, the angels, the scoffers ask, where is the promise of his coming? That's the text. In the 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Where is the promise of his coming? A lot of folk, they've given up. A lot of folk have lost hope and confidence in the coming of the Lord. But I'm more confident now than ever. I've ever been in my life.
Hey,
and that
is
Jesus coming to
glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. I've become somewhat like a little boy back during World War II. His dad was drafted into the armed service. After Daddy finished basic training and came home for a few days to spend these days with the family before being shipped overseas, well, when the furlough had come to an end, his family followed him to the train depot station and tell him bye. After he hugged his wife and kissed her and told her bye, she could understand the meaning of his having to leave. And he hugged the older children, told them bye. They could understand why Daddy was having to go from them. But he had a little three-year-old boy. So he sat down, and he took the little boy in his lap, and put his arm around him, and he tried to explain to him that suddenly Daddy's going to be gone for about 12 or 13 months. I'll be across the waters, and I'll be fighting in the armed service. And I want you to be a good boy while I'm gone. I want you to mind Mama. Do everything she says do. He went on and on, trying to explain all this to the little boy. And the last thing he told him, he said, now, son, you be a good boy, and Daddy'll be back. Daddy, come back. Well, after being shipped overseas a few months later, his wife received a telegram from Uncle Sam saying that the husband was missing in action and presumed dead. Well, if she knew what that telegram meant, that meant that Daddy wouldn't be coming back home. The older children, they could understand that Daddy won't be coming back home, but not that little three-year-old boy. She'd set the boy down, she'd try to explain to him that Daddy's been killed in battle, and he won't be coming back. But every time she'd bring up the subject about Daddy's not coming back home, this little boy has blue eyes light up. Is it, Mama? Yes, he is coming back, because the last thing he told me before that says, son, I'll be back. Hallelujah. But I know Jesus has been gone for nearly 2,000 years, and a lot of folk are saying he's not coming back. But every time they tell me, I think myself, Brother, he is coming back, because the last thing he told me is coming back.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
He's coming back.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we look for him. Lord, we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I shall have a
Even
so, come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that you take your message right into the hearts of those that have heard it. And Lord, if there are people here that's not saved, I pray somehow, some way, Lord, to save them and get them ready for your return. Of those in the service who don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, I pray somehow, Lord, that you fill them with the Holy Ghost tonight in this service. Move in these altars, Lord. Move in these altars as folk make new dedication to you in Jesus' name. Girls, sing the chorus, will you?